This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Last week, children with disabilities and their parents went to Capitol Hill to urge senators to vote no on the Republican bill that would cut Medicaid. New York Times reporters Megan Mineiro and Margot Sanger-Katz write, Landry Bell, a one-year-old boy who was born with Down syndrome, wriggled and smiled in his big sister's lap on the floor outside Republican Senator Mike Lee's office as he took a break from going office to office with his mother while she explained how cuts to Medicaid would devastate their family. Wearing a bright blue t-shirt with the words Little Lobbyists, Landry was among a group of children with serious medical needs who crisscrossed the Capitol with their parents, urging senators to vote no on the sprawling Republican bill carrying Trump's agenda. The legislation would cut deeply into Medicaid to help pay for large tax cuts that would benefit businesses and the richest Americans. They go on to write that the Senate version of the legislation would make even more aggressive cuts to Medicaid than the version of the legislation that passed the House. Those reductions and the elimination of some clean energy tax credits are among the most contentious provisions driving debate on the bill among Republicans as party leaders push to complete it and send it to Trump's desk. Well, we want to thank reporters Megan Mineiro and Margot Sanger-Katz for this story because they highlighted this issue, shining a spotlight on the little lobbyists. And we are so happy to have two moms on the show who were on Capitol Hill last week. Allie Chandra is a pediatric home health nurse who lives with her family in Utah. She relied on Medicaid for prenatal care, delivery, and her son Ethan's first two open heart surgeries. Now nearly 11, Ethan thrives at home and in school, while Allie works to make the same thing possible for other medically complex disabled children, providing school-based nursing and in-home care. Hi, Allie. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, it's great to be here.
It's great to have you. We're also joined by Jenny McClelland, a retired police officer who lives in California. Jenny's 14-year-old son, James, is disabled and medically complex. He uses a ventilator at night. James lived in a pediatric nursing home for most of the first year of his life because it was so difficult to access care in the rural town where the family lived. Medicaid made it possible for James to come home from the hospital and access nursing care at home. James is able to have a happy, healthy life at home with his family because Medicaid pays for the nursing care that keeps him breathing. Hi, Jenny. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you both so much for taking the time to share your stories with us. Jenny, can you tell us a little bit more about James and tell us why Medicaid is so important to your family?
The important thing to understand about medically complex kids is that they are children first. My son James is 14. He's a fun and exciting teenager to hang out with. He's really into 3D printing, and that's his project for the summer. Because of his disability, he doesn't always breathe. And breathing is something that you have to do 100% of the time. When he was a young baby, he was so fragile that we were told it wasn't safe to bring him home without 24-hour nursing care at home. And that's something that private insurance never pays for. So even though our family is middle class, our son is enrolled in Medicaid in order to access nursing care that makes it possible for him to live the life he wants to live. Just this last semester, he was in a school play. And even though rehearsals were after school, his nurse attended rehearsals with him. In between scenes, he could step off stage, be suctioned, and then just return to participating in the activity that he wanted to do because nursing, funded by Medicaid, made his life work.
Allie, what would you like to tell us about Ethan and how Medicaid has really helped your family?
Oh, man, where to even start? First of all, I think the thing he would want to be told is that his birthday is in less than a week. Aww. And he's very excited about it. Medicaid didn't just make my family work. It made my family possible. My husband and I had been volunteering overseas for almost 6 years when I came home for maternity leave and found out that Ethan, on a prenatal ultrasound, that Ethan had a condition and a constellation of organ defects that the doctor called likely incompatible with life. As a person of deep faith, I wanted more than anything to be able to choose life for my child. But knowing that he was, if he were to survive, he would face a lifetime of incredibly expensive medical care, I needed to know that I would be able to still provide for my other child and for my family if we were to choose life for him. And Medicaid is what made that possible. Medicaid paid for the rest of my pregnancy, for my delivery, and for the first two of the now five open heart surgeries that Ethan has had. And so I say it all the time, but Medicaid is so pro-life, and Medicaid is what allowed me to choose life for my son and to keep choosing it for all these almost 11 years now with him that we've had.
Wow. Well, happy early birthday to Ethan. Allie, when you visited with Republican senators last week, I'm sure you shared similar stories with them. You probably said Medicaid is pro-life. They mm-hmm. claim to be pro-life. How did they respond?
That to me is the biggest disappointment in my leaders and in these senators who claim to be pro-life. They claim to hold the same values that I do, and yet I don't see it lived out in their policy. I met directly with Senator Curtis. And I tried to share with him, my son was in the room. So he saw my son, and I tried to share with him stories of other children who do benefit from Medicaid and who would be harmed by this bill. And I was just pushed out of the room. He stood mm-hmm. over us. He pointed his pen in our face and he said, well, I've listened to you. Now you need to listen to me. As if his whole job isn't to listen to and to represent his constituents. So it was disappointing. It's disappointing every time I come up against these disconnects between what they claim and what they actually live out in their policy.
And this is your Senator John Curtis, mm-hmm. Republican yeah. of Utah. Have you done this kind of advocacy work before, Allie?
It is so funny that you asked that. I was just in my Facebook memories, and 8 years ago today, this exact day, I was on CNN with my son, with Ethan. He was so little, and I was advocating for healthcare. I've been doing this for 8 years now. And I cannot believe that we're still here and that we still have to hold up our children and bring out our trauma and share these really intense personal details about our lives in order to beg lawmakers, again, many of whom claim to be pro-life, but to beg them to see the humanity and the value in our children's lives.
Gosh, and the fact that you were treated like that when you had your son with you. Mm-hmm. Jenny, what was your experience like when you visited senators' offices last week?
So our family wasn't able to make this set of visits in DC, but I have brought my son to advocate with me, and he has advocated himself on many different occasions. I think it's easy for our representatives to say one thing when they're talking to a person who depends on Medicaid and then vote another way. What I want to get through to our legislators is that we cannot cut Medicaid. There's no way to cut Medicaid that doesn't hurt the most vulnerable among us, that doesn't cause people to lose access to the care that keeps them alive.
You know, and when you look at the numbers, according to KFF, the House bill would cut Medicaid spending by $793 billion over 10 years. 10.3 million fewer people would be enrolled in Medicaid in 2034. But Republicans in the Senate want even deeper cuts, and Stat reports these cuts would lead to 16,642 preventable deaths every year if implemented. So just to read this again, 16,642 preventable deaths every year if these cuts go into effect. And this is according to an analysis from the Annals of Internal Medicine. So Jenny, we're really talking about lives at risk here.
I think that $1 billion is a number. It's a statistic, and it's easy for people to see past that. What I want our legislators to understand is that these are real people living real, joyful, happy, healthy lives at home and in their communities. Medicaid is the glue that holds our family together. During the year that my son was institutionalized in a nursing home, our family was falling apart. The system was spending more than $500,000 a year to give him the bare minimum of care in an institution. One strange fact about Medicaid is that the system is required to pay for institutionalization, but any care that's delivered at home and in communities is considered optional. So whenever legislators decide to cut Medicaid, it's that very effective, very good care that is cut first. And that's what I'm really afraid of, is that families like mine will be forced into institutional care in order to keep their loved ones alive.
Wow. So if these cuts went through, you think that that possibly could happen to James?
I would do anything to keep that from happening to him. But even here in California, it did happen to him. Mm-hmm. And the reason it happens is because the system is set up to provide nursing home care and hospital care, but figuring out how to get care at home is difficult and complicated. The nurse who takes care of my son at night, who manages his ventilator and keeps him breathing, makes about $25 an hour. Wow. That's not what nurses make. He is sacrificing his income to work in home health. The system that pays for care at home is already so underfunded, we can't afford to lose more. Mm.
Jenny McClelland is a retired police officer who lives in California. Jenny's 14-year-old son, James, is disabled and medically complex. He uses a ventilator at night. He lived in a pediatric nursing home for most of his first year of his life because it was so difficult to access care in the rural town where their family lived. Medicaid made it possible for James to come home from the hospital and access care at home. And he's able to have a healthy, happy life at home with his family because Medicaid pays for the nursing care that keeps him breathing. And as you just heard there, the nurse that does keep him breathing makes $25 an hour, and we've been doing so many shows about care and what we need to do to fix this broken system. Ali Chandra is a pediatric home health nurse who lives with her family in Utah. She relied on Medicaid for prenatal care delivery and her son Ethan's first two open heart surgeries. He's nearly 11 now, and he continues to thrive at home and in school while Ali works to make the same thing possible for other medically complex disabled children, providing school-based nursing and in-home care. Today, we are talking about efforts to encourage Republicans to oppose Medicaid cuts. And just to give you a few updates here, I'm reading from the Courier Journal. U.S. Senator Mitch McConnell reportedly said in a closed-door meeting that Americans concerned about spending cuts to Medicaid would quote, get over it. A McConnell spokesperson said he was not speaking generally about the federal health insurance program. He said, quote, I know a lot of us are hearing from people back home about Medicaid, but they will get over it. This was first reported by Punchbowl News. Mike Johnson, the speaker, according to Politico, is warning about a Medicaid backlash. And then notus.org has a piece. Josh Hawley goes from don't cut Medicaid to most cuts would be fine. Hawley was the most outspoken opponent among Senate Republicans to Medicaid cuts. Now he says he's always supported most of the Medicaid cuts and suggests he'd be fine with just one change. So, Allie, what updates can you give us? Again, you were on Capitol Hill last week with a number of other families with disabled children. You're all part of a group called Little Lobbyists. There's a lot of advocacy work going on right now. I mean, rural hospitals are so concerned that they could possibly close because of these cuts. Do you have any updates on whether this advocacy work is changing minds on Capitol Hill?
It's so hard to know, honestly. And like I said before, we've been doing this for 8 years now. And that's what I don't think that the lawmakers who, like Ollie, who think they can just flip-flop and say one thing and do another, I think they underestimate parents of medically complex children. We have been fighting tooth and nail for our children to survive and to thrive from the day we found out about what we would be facing. We have long memories. And so it doesn't really matter to us. We can look at this and say, okay, yeah, we have this person on our side or that person on our side. It doesn't matter that. What matters is that we will keep showing up. We will not be stopped, and we have long memories. And so if they do, I think there is a long track record of politicians saying one thing and voting another way. And our message to them is, we will remember. We will know that you voted against our children and against our lives and against our families. And when it comes time for you to be up for re-election, we will remember. As long as they are sitting senators with a vote, they have the power to determine the futures of our children. And so we will keep showing up and we will keep sitting in their offices and we will keep bringing our children to meet with them. Because this matters. Medicaid matters. It matters to our children. It matters to the children that I care for in their homes. When Jenny's talking about the nurse that cares for her kid and goes to school play with him, I can't wait until the patient I go to school with wants to do stuff like that. I'm so excited.
Gosh, and Allie, I mean, you are a pediatric home health nurse. Mm-hmm. You work to make the same thing possible that you make for Ethan for other medically complex disabled children. What are you hearing from other families? I mean, just to think of the stress they're going through right now, not knowing what's coming.
Yeah, I mean, I'm constantly texting my patients' families, and there is just this uncertainty and just this, there's a weight of caregiving and caring for medically complex kids. And to have this weight of not knowing whether our government is going to make it harder or easier, we shouldn't have to handle that as well. We live in the richest country in the world. We should be able to care for our children. We need everyone that's listening right now also to join in with us, to call your senators. It might feel intimidating. It might feel scary. Just give them a call. Tell them you oppose cuts to Medicaid. And like Jenny said before, we know that when Medicaid gets cut, it's home and community-based services that are the first to go because those are considered optional. Mm-hmm. I don't see anything optional about the work that I do.
Jenny, final thoughts from you. We have about a minute left. What are you planning to do in the coming days? And for people who want to speak out about this, what would you say is most effective?
I want families to know that your story is the most important tool that we have right now. It's vulnerable and it's hard to be vulnerable, but you have to take the story of how you're able to make life work and explain to your legislators, this is what makes our family work. This is the life that Medicaid makes possible, and that you can be brave and you can be vulnerable, and sharing your story will make a difference.
Jenny McClelland is a retired police officer who lives in California. Her 14-year-old son, James, is disabled and medically complex. He uses a ventilator at night. Medicaid made it possible for James to come home from the hospital and access nursing care at home. He's able to have a happy, healthy life at home with his family because Medicaid pays for the nursing care that keeps him breathing. Ali Chandra is a pediatric home health nurse who lives with her family in Utah. Her son, Ethan, who is almost 11 years old, continues to thrive at home and in school while Ali works because of Medicaid. Her story as a mom and a nurse reflects the power of Medicaid to keep families together and children where they belong, in their homes and in their communities. Jenny and Ali, thank you so much for joining us, and we'd love to have you back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And we will definitely continue to cover Medicaid cuts. If you have a show idea or a guest idea on these issues, you can email your call at kalw.org. And if you are in the Bay Area, we are doing a number of caregiving events. The next one is on Wednesday, July 9th. We're going to be doing a live Your Call about the caregiving crisis and solutions, 5 p.m. at the Main Public Library in San Francisco, 100 Larkin Street. We'll have California State Assemblymember Matt Haney on the show to talk about what can be done at the state level. We hope you can join us for that event. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call.